Thanks for joining us on Open Mic. Today we're talking with Morehead State University, Dr. Jay Morgan, the president of the university.
Good morning, Leanne.
Thank you so much for being on the show with
us today. Thank you. Glad to be here today.
I just want to talk a little bit about what's going on here at the university. We've had the semester start up, and move in at MSU was August 8th and 9th for all of our new students. Parents always seem to be impressed with how smoothly that process is, especially for the new students.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about what planning goes into that event.
Well, I'll say, Leanne, our folks on campus, our employees, have this down to an art and a science. In my past 13 months of being here at Morehead State University, I've had untold number of parents and family members who drop their children off here, say, what a great process we have here in relation to maybe what some of their other experiences are. Related to that, we have a host of people involved. Of course, our housing office staff is involved. They have it down to an art. Our university police are involved. Our student affairs folks are involved. And particularly, we have student clubs, Greek organizations, athletes, general students who come to help. And you might think it's organized chaos, but it's really, really structured to a T. And we get a lot of compliments on it.
I myself directed traffic for a little bit during move-in, and some other people at MSPR did some volunteering. I noticed that there were so many people in those powder blue shirts, those volunteer shirts, and a lot of those were students. They were student athletes. They were other student organizations. What do you think that says about the culture here at the university as far as volunteerism?
I think it speaks to a great culture here, and I think it shows that our campus and everybody, that's from the top to the bottom, all different types of students here, clubs and otherwise, are volunteers, I think, because we're a student-centered university, and they believe in the mission that the university has. And they believe that if we treat folks right on the front end, that we'll see successful students on the back end. So I'm very complimentary to everybody that helps. And literally hundreds of people come out to help that day. You even see community members here, from the Chamber of Commerce to folks down on Main Street who come up and donate water and do various things. So this is really an all-hands-on-deck thing when we do move in. And I've never seen a move-in quite this structured and this successful.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting to be a part of it. It was hot, but I really enjoyed it, and it was good. Classes started August 13th for the fall semester. It seems like there are a billion students on campus, but I know that's not the case. I know it's kind of early to talk about official enrollment numbers, but can you tell me about what we're anticipating about what number of students that we have this semester?
Sure, I'd be glad to. And of course, everything right now is an early count. We do not lock our formal numbers until the latter part of October, when we report those officially to the state, because we have mid-semester classes that start, and then we also have drop add over the next couple of weeks. Right now, our earliest feel for this fall 2018 semester, and a very positive note, is that it looks like our freshman numbers, our incoming student numbers, are up, which gives everybody a little bit of a smile. Conversely, we graduated a large group of seniors back in May, mm-hmm. and we're proud to call them graduates, but it does affect your student count a little bit. Right now, I think the summary is we're up in incoming freshmen, our sophomores are about even, juniors are slightly down, seniors are a little bit more down just because we've had some small classes in the past. Graduate students, I think nationwide are down, or at least in Kentucky at regional schools like us are down. I think overall you'll see a slight downturn in the total numbers for Morehead State University, but the positive piece there is our incoming freshman class looks really good, and that's very much thanks to our enrollment services staff for getting out and doing a lot of recruiting over the past year. So if we can keep moving forward with several good freshman classes, our numbers could rebound quite nicely.
It would be nice to see that happen.
It would.
I remember a few months ago we talked about the number of students living on campus. Mm. This was during the summer.
Yes.
And you said that campus, as far as campus housing, was getting pretty full. What ended up happening with that?
Well, we've got over 3,000 beds, as we call them, on campus for people to live in. And I think in the past, Morehead State has had a pretty good average, about 88 or 89% of all of those being full or with students living in those particular rooms. Our goal has been to raise that to 95% because it's our feel that more people you can get living and learning on campus, the better off your retention and graduation rates are, the better off your participation in campus events is, ball games, Greek activities, social things, going to concerts and plays and so forth. So this year, I think at least preliminary numbers look like we're probably 93, 94%. We started out about 95, but we had a couple of students that shifted off campus on us, which is okay. We still have some of those students. So we're approaching our goal of 95%.
That's
so we're about 93, 94 right now. So a good lift of about roughly about 4%+ over last fall.
I feel like as we finish up our construction projects on campus, maybe that's going to be a big draw for some of the students when those new buildings and remodels are complete. And speaking of that, I've been seeing a lot of activity around ADUC because construction...
Yes, it's coming together.
It's coming together. And I saw that the student area outside has been opened, allowing students to easier access into Lappin and the Combs area. And
looks a lot better, doesn't it?
It's beautiful. It is beautiful. Tell me where we are in the process of getting that building online.
Sure. Well, as you know, Leanne and others, it's been a 3 or 4 year project. Not only the renovation of what was the existing ADUC, but also the addition of a very nice facility that will house some nice ballrooms, some new food court areas, some meeting rooms, and will be a nice addition to the campus when it's completed. I call it the anchor to the campus because that's where you want students going, along with the rec center and the library and, of course, the class, too. Related to that, about 2 weeks ago, we moved about 20 student affairs staff in the old part of ADUC, the renovated portion, and they're currently trying to get settled in. The building is not fully open yet. The next wave of individuals will probably start moving in late September. And our hope is, knock on wood, is to open the building at Homecoming 2018. Nice ribbon cutting, show it to the public. We've been hosting a number of tours in it right now, very small tours to folks just so they can kind of get a feel of the layout and do some planning. But I think we'll swing the doors open to the public at Homecoming and have a nice ribbon cutting. The food court portion will not open until probably early January. And that's because during the winter break, when we're out of session and have a little bit of time to move kitchen equipment, things like that, they'll get that up and running. So I think by early January, certainly the start of the spring semester, the building will be fully functional, students in it, and moving along well. And I think it'll be a good recruiting piece for us as well.
I agree. Speaking of those dining facilities that are going to be there, what are some of the new places? I know we've discussed this in the past, but let's talk about the new places that are going to be located in ADUC.
Well, particularly around dining, our vision forward is to have really two anchors to each end of campus. The Rock, which will be in the residential hall side of campus, will service students. And then I think you'll see during classroom times, because ADUC really is clustered in our academic end of campus where a lot of the classroom buildings are, students will probably be going in there for Starbucks to get their morning coffee so they can get woken up around 8 for early class. Lunchtime things would probably be some things like you see now, Chick-fil-A. You can get your taco there. You can get your salad there. We might have some fish sandwiches. Had a little bit of talk about steak and shake and a few other things. So we've got some concepts on the board, and we're starting to draw those to a close. But I think it'll have the best description I can give you is kind of a mall-type food court. Mm-hmm. Go in, sit at a small table, eat your Chick-fil-A, drink your milkshake, go back to class. So.
Right.
It's going to look good.
All right, yeah, I actually did a virtual tour of the facility a few months ago that they gave over in the library here. And it was amazing to see how massive the facility is going to be. inside and the beautiful natural elements and organic lines that the entire design has.
A lot of natural light.
It's going to be a really great facility for our students. I think it'll be neat once it gets open. Now, does the university plan to have that facility open to members of the community?
Of course, all of our facilities are open to members of the community, whether it be a classroom building, our library. Of course, you have to check in, do certain things, but our university student center will be open to individuals from the community. They're welcome to come in, have a cup of coffee, eat lunch, roam around a little bit. We always invite the community and the region to come join us.
I know I've talked to a few people who have been coming to The Rock on mm-hmm. Sundays after
yes,
church
yes.
because it's a great opportunity to grab some lunch that's a little different than what else
it's
is offered.
It's a great salad bar. And, of course, as you know, if you go in The Rock, you can find four or five different dining sections and pick a little bit off each of them. And I have not been there on Sunday for lunch, but I've been there several evenings for dinner with my family, and I see folks from the community roaming around. Mm-hmm. So that's very good to have.
I have a picky eater in my family.
Do you?
So it's always nice because my older son can get whatever he'd like, and there's always pizza for the little man.
That's right.
Because he'll eat that. Now, ADEC is probably the last large-scale construction project that MSU will have in the works for a while. But there will be some demolition happening coming up. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes, as you know, as we bring ADEC to a close sometime around October and homecoming, our next project will actually be not adding a building, but taking one away. Our board at the June meeting recently voted to approve that we demolish Butler Hall, which is an old dormitory, a residential hall. It served the university well for many, many decades. And as you know, it sits next to Mays Hall and Cartmel. Our goal right now is, barring no unforeseen demolition issues, is to probably gate that area off around finals week of this fall, and then bring that building down during the winter break and have it all cleaned up. And that area will come back and be grassed in, some nice trees on it. We're trying to build in some more green space on campus. We think it looks nice.
I was actually driving around that area this morning looking for a parking spot and saw, I was thinking about the building, and it's going to open up a beautiful view of the new Andrews Hall.
Andrews Hall, yes. You should be able to see the side of Andrews Hall, the clock on Andrews Hall on mm-hmm. the side there. And that's kind of one of the hidden reasons of opening that area up. And we haven't used Butler Hall for a couple of years. So as a cost-saving measure and also to kind of clean that area up, make it look a little bit better, that building has served the university well, but probably will go away soon.
Right. Well, I know that there are some of us who lived in Butler Hall once upon a time.
Did you live in Butler?
I actually did not. I was a commuter so when I was a freshman here, but I had a lot of friends who lived in Butler, so I spent a lot of time there. Like all public universities in Kentucky, MSU was looking at a very uncertain future when it comes to the pension issues and with funding. With the laws that passed earlier this year, MSU anticipated a huge increase in employee pension costs, and I know that that's still kind of the case, but what's been happening with the lawsuit, and where are things standing right now for Moorhead?
Sure. As you and the general public know, all across Kentucky, pensions were very much an issue back in the spring and the General Assembly, and we were watching that very closely because the pension cost increases were going to be about 60% to 70% on top of current year pension cost. And that's something that was going to be pretty tough to swallow from a financial standpoint for a university our size. Right now, as we understand it, the pension bill or the pension issue is in litigation at the state. And I think it seems to be kind of slowly approaching the Supreme Court level, or it looks like it's headed that way. Right now, MSU continues to just watch it from a distance. We are doing a little bit of pre-planning if we do have to pay those substantially increased costs. Right now, we're on hold because we don't have that information. I think going forward, as we do at least get maybe a look at what comes out of the backside of the pension litigation and any further legislative changes, we'll take those as they come. But right now we're trying to do a little bit of planning around cost savings on pensions, but there's not much you can do at this point.
Right. Now, I know you spent a lot of time on the university budget since you came to Moorhead 13 months ago. But most recently, you got permission to renegotiate a loan to save MSU quite a bit of money. Tell me a little bit about that deal.
Sure. At our most recent Board of Regents meeting, the board did approve or allow me to enter into some negotiations on restructuring some of our financials. And over the past 12, 13 months, we did a lot of internal budget work, trying to move things around, get some savings that we needed through the state budget reductions. As a piece of that and working over the next year or 12 or 18 months, we're looking at restructuring some of our financials, particularly around some of the debt and bonds that we have. I don't think there's any blinking lights of danger here, so I don't want to give that impression, but we're trying to smooth out some of the crinkles and rough spots around some of our payments for bondholders and otherwise. And again, no major alerts, but just trying to smooth it out and get a little bit better trajectory into also time our payments for certain things when we have certain beneficial times during the year. We get a big rush of cash in, so to say, or revenue when school starts in the fall, when school starts in the spring. So sometimes it's just like you do in at home. You time some of your payments when your cash flow is coming in. So we're going to be doing that over the next 12, 18, 24 months, and all in an effort just to have a little bit more smoother operation.
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic, and we'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm Leon Smothers, your host for That Was Radio, a look at the programs, events, and personalities of radio's golden years. On the next episode, we will discuss the role of women in radio during this period, and we'll feature women crime fighters. Join me for That Was Radio on Sunday, September the 2nd, at 3 p.m., and again on Monday, September 3rd at 9 a.m. here on WMKY 90.3 FM.
And we're back here on Open Mic. Today we're speaking with Moorhead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan. Dr. Morgan, thanks again for coming on the show.
It's great to be with you.
You recently signed an agreement with other state universities that extended the tuition waiver for university employees between the different universities. Why do you think that was an important thing for Moorhead to do?
I think the one word I would use here in signing this agreement really is a continuity for transition, and that may not always be very well known to the general public, but what we were looking for is our state waivers, where an individual who was employed by one higher ed institution could have a waiver at another higher ed institution in Kentucky, actually was sunsetted in this last General Assembly, spring of 2018. As a part of that, the universities got together, the presidents over the summer, and said, because we have a number of students who are kind of caught in the middle here, unintended consequences to some degree, we felt like we needed some continuity for them to continue with their program for another semester or so, just so they could kind of make some amends and also have a little bit of transitionary time between making a decision, do I stay in this program or do I transfer maybe back to my home institution to complete it? So that agreement was signed by all the higher ed presidents in Kentucky among public universities and runs through December 2018. Mm-hmm. Right now, we've been talking a little bit about, do we extend that again to give students maybe one more semester to kind of finish up their personal career as far as higher ed is concerned, and where do we go? So we'll know more about that probably in the next couple of months, and that's been a difficult one to navigate. But I think the word that I would use is we need to work with our students to transition.
Mm-hmm. I realize as a university employee who is using the tuition waiver.
Are you?
Okay. I am. I am working on a degree here at MSU, so it doesn't
necessarily affect
me.
It does not affect you here. No, yeah, it does not affect an employee great. Who is here with us at MSU. it's only our employees who are
going other places.
Going other places.
Well, for me, it's been a wonderful addition. I'm working on my third degree, and it's a very exciting program. The EDD program here is very interesting.
Great.
To go
Good
into.
Luck on that.
Thank you so much. You made a joke during convocation that got a whole lot of laughs about the university buying the old Rowan County Detention Center. I know at that time you were kind of like, does anybody have any ideas? But I know that I'm sure it's going to be utilized in some way. Tell me what the plans are in the works right
sure,
now for
yeah.
that building.
We have used that as a good joke around campus for the past 6 months or so. A little bit of history here. About 5 or 7 years ago, university entered into a relationship with the local Round County Fiscal Court to purchase the old detention center. And I say old, it's attached to the old courthouse, I guess. Mm-hmm. And as a part of that, I think the vision at the time for the university was acquiring a piece of property that was contiguous to property that we already owned. So fast forward 5 or 7 years later, here we are, and the county has finished completing their detention center just outside of town. So we were contractually obligated to purchase what is now the old Round County Detention Center. We made some jokes about it being a number of different things. But as a part of that, our facilities management group right now is assessing the building, trying to figure out what's our best foot forward for that. Right now, it's probably going to be storage of some type, air-conditioned storage. We've looked at potentially moving an office or two in the front part of the building, which is actually, with a little paint and a little updated carpet, could be a quite nice office suite. So I want to kind of reserve judgment to our facilities folks, give it a little bit more thought. And it is a nice footprint for the campus because it's right in the middle of property we already own. But it's been a nice joke on campus for a while that we now own a jail.
Yeah. I recently visited the old courthouse and saw how much change has been there with the location of the TRIO programs moved into that building.
Great programs down there.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm always amazed with that program and how much it helps some of our least fortunate students out there in the community regions that we serve here at Moorhead. And it's just a great program and a great group of people. But what the facilities had done with the old courthouse, I mean, you wouldn't realize
right.
that it was an old
right.
courthouse unless you'd been around when it wasn't.
Unless you go in the courtroom. Yeah. But seriously, it is a beautiful building and houses very important staff for our TRIO programs and other grant, federal and state grant programs that do a lot of outreach to our region, our 22-county region, and beyond even those boundaries. So this particular building just happens to be attached to the old courthouse. Mm-hmm. So that made it even more interesting as a purchase for us.
Over during move-in day, I was, you know, out directing traffic, and the door to the back door in the jail opened, and there was the jailer, and he was cleaning stuff out of the building. I was like, hey, let's talk about the new jail. But he was busy moving all the stuff for
he
the
He was.
The
they've been in transition for a month or two now, and our folks will begin to look at it and decide what our foot forward is.
I am interested to know your kind of overall feeling about the region, the area of Moorhead's mm-hmm. campus, and how you're feeling about that after a year at the helm.
Well, we've had a great year, all things considered, separate and aside from the budget, the state budget woes. As a part of that, we really feel a connection here. Both Amber and I are products of small universities and, as you know, came from another small town a little further west of here, and have a real affinity for working with institutions like Moorhead State University that we consider to be very student-centered, institutions that serve very unique regions. And Moorhead State University, serving a 22-county area in Far East Kentucky, certainly is where we feel at home, and it's a place that we have, so far, in the past 12, 13 months, have enjoyed raising our kids.
That's all we've got for today on Open Mic. Again, Dr. Jay Morgan, president of Moorhead State University, thank you so much for coming.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
All right, and we'll see you next Friday on Open Mic.